This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. We will continue to keep you posted on any changes to the Pope's condition. If anything significant, any changes happen, we will let you know right about it. Imagine a few years down the road, you decide that you're going to have your own private John Wayne movie festival. So you call up the local video store to rent some of your favorites, you place an order, and then once you finish the sale, you spend a few seconds chatting with the clerk about, let's say, baseball. By the time you hang up, all the movies that you ordered are all ready to go in the family room in full high definition. That's the kind of data speeds that a California-based startup company says could be possible using a new chip that it has developed, a way of hooking light-speed data flowing over optical fibers into the, you know, familiar silicon-based chip that combines photonics and electronics. Joining me now to talk about it is Alex Dickinson, the co-founder and CEO of Luxtera, the company that has developed the chip. He joined us by phone from his office in Carlsbad, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks very much, Ira. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. What is the magic here that allows this thing to transmit data? What? How much faster is it?
Well, it's about a factor of 10 faster than we're doing right now, Ira, and it has the potential for going up to about a factor of 1,000 over the current data rates.
Wow. So what's the bandwidth different for we geeks that want to know?
We're talking about current local area networks are shipping around 1 gigabit per second. Our first generation will be running at 10 gigabits per second, and we have 100 gigabits a second in the works.
Wow. So you can really download, let's say, movies really fast if you need to.
Yeah, 10 gigabits a second, an HDTV movie would download in about 30 seconds.
That would make the promise of the Internet really come true for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of people, I think, in the long term are going to be interested in portability. So, you know, we see how popular the iPod is, and that really rests on people's ability to move a lot of information onto it quickly and then move it around. And I think it's fairly natural to assume that the same sort of thing is going to happen in television as well.
Apple already has gigabit Ethernet on it, does it not?
Yes, that's correct.
So exactly. What? How much faster would this be than that technology already available?
Well, around 10 times faster, yeah. And I think that'll make a big difference.
So if you're saying if we come up with a device that, like a portable iPod that has movies on it, you'd be able to just plug it in 30 seconds, you walk away with your portable movie.
Exactly.
And why is this possible? Let's talk about the technology. What has made this possible in your design?
Sure. Well, you know, if you think back the last 50 years of the last century, there were two really amazing technologies that came to fruition. One was silicon chips, where you had Moore's Law creating the doubling of performance every 18 months. And the other one that came in was fiber optics, where we could, you know, transfer huge amounts of information with very little energy over optical fibers. But previously, those two have sort of existed in two completely different worlds. And when you tried to move information on and off a silicon chip, you used electrical wires. The problem is when you try and move data through a wire, it's sort of pushing electrons through a lattice of electrons that act as a filter. So the faster you go, the less distance you can travel. What we've done is brought the optical fibers right into a standard silicon chip. We build the chips in the same process that our fabrication partner uses for building big microprocessors, and we can move the information off the chip directly into the optical fiber. And once it's in that fiber, it's really almost unlimited in terms of the distance that it can travel and also the amount of data or the rapidity with which the data can travel over it.
So you would have to have for your, let's talk about this iPod that does video, for example, you'd have to have a way of getting that fiber cable into your home also.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, something interesting is going on there, which is we're starting to see fiber being deployed out to people's houses. I think Verizon in particular is making a move on that. And I think that getting the data to people's houses isn't going to be that far in the future. And I think this technology can make a big difference there as well.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. And the numbers we're talking about are very big here. How far down the road are we talking? 5 years, something like that?
We're going to ship our, we're actually so-called sampling, which is producing early product for manufacturers in the second quarter of next year, 2006, and we expect to be in volume production of this in 2007.
So that's almost around the corner in chip terminology.
Yeah, one of the advantages of what we're doing is because we take these, I think the fabrication facility we build our chips in at Motorola is about a $2 billion facility, but of course it's already up and running, and all we're doing is putting new designs into that facility. So there's not a lot of manufacturing technology that needs to be developed to bring something like this to market.
So you're talking about a very high-speed sort of pipe that comes into your computer. Can the computer already, is it powerful enough to handle all that data?
That's a great question. It turns out that it is. You know, for a long time, I think we've all been subject to the issue one runs into, which is you buy a new computer and it says it's gone from 1 gigahertz to 2 gigahertz, but it actually doesn't seem to run that much faster.
Right.
And a big part of that is that the links inside the computer actually run relatively slow compared to the actual speed of the processor. So the sort of the next step also for our technology is to start to create the links between the microprocessor and the memory, for example, and open up the bandwidth there, which is really choking back computers right now.
Mm. So that would be the next step once your pipeline in is to make the buses inside go faster?
Yeah, I think if you look from a 100,000-foot level, you know, we know optical fibers are wonderful for long-haul distances between cities. They're now being used in much smaller distances within a city and also to the home. I think we would expect to see a natural progression into the local area networks next, and then probably in around 2010, right inside the computer itself for interconnecting the chips inside.
And so right now, for your chip to interface with my PC or my Mac or my iPod, it's already, this is the chip that will do it.
Inside those devices, the data is already moving around at those kind of rates. It's just not coming out at that rate at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Do you need any other breakthroughs to happen for it to be a success?
No, we don't think so. We think we've got them all pinned down. The technology that we built on has been developed for a number of years at Caltech. And we've had the company running for about 3 years, and a team of just outstanding people, some of the best and brightest people from all over the world in this field working on this. So we think we're set to go.
Do you think all copper is going to be obsolete soon?
Well, you know, we've got perhaps we're rather bold in our vision, but if you think about copper and fiber, copper is a kind of an expensive material. You know, we use it in coins and things like that. Fiber is just made out of sand, and fiber is already substantially cheaper than copper wiring. And I think, you know, by creating this gateway between the silicon and the fiber itself, I think we could see actually a fairly rapid transition from a copper data railway economy to a fiber economy.
Do you think you're going to be ahead of the fiber coming into the home? You know, they say fiber to the curb. You know, from the curb into the home is something else. Maybe some people already have it for their cable boxes. Do you think that you're going to have to wait for that to come, even though you might have your device ready?
Well, it's always a problem, the infrastructure of, you know, how do you they call it pulling the fiber. How do you pull the fiber into the house itself, and the cost and the disruption that actually doing that takes? So I think that'll take some time. But I think we've seen historically that people's demand for entertainment is a very powerful motivator, and I think it could happen pretty quickly. And we see right now the telephone companies fighting kind of a rearguard action against the cable companies who have got ahead of them, really, in bringing high bandwidth in, and I think that's going to be a big motivator to getting fiber in.
So your chip could wind up in my cable box, it could wind up in my TiVo, let's say, and I could download a movie in a matter of seconds?
Absolutely. We think potentially it could be just about anything that's connected to anything else, and that's obviously a lot of pieces.
Mm-hmm. Is this based on technology we've seen other places and just moved into the fiber optics realm, or did you have to invent new algorithms for the computers to work?
It's very new in the sense that what happened is that the lines that are drawn on silicon chips have gotten obviously much, much smaller over time, and they're now much smaller than an actual wavelength of light. So what the team worked out how to do is to start to build structures down in the silicon that were much smaller than the wavelengths of light, which meant that they could interfere with it in very novel and interesting ways. And to be able to do that, we had to build a very large simulation facility made out of a large number of computers all hooked up together that solves Maxwell's equations, the fundamental electromagnetic radiation equations, so that we can actually understand how light behaves inside these very, very tiny structures that are order of 100 nanometers in size.
Amazing. Let me see if I get a quick call in, 1-800-999-8255. Kim and Jackson. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi there, quickly.
Yes, I was wondering how this compares with the present technology that we have in our schools and some businesses with video conferencing.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, it potentially moves it from, you know, usually when you see video conferencing right now, it's usually still pretty jerky even compared to NTSC, which is what we use for delivery of normal television. This technology would let you take things like a video conference and deliver them at full high-definition TV bandwidth. And a lot of this tends to be about price, and the reality is this can be delivered in an infrastructure that isn't very expensive. That means it becomes accessible not just for broadcast television, but television that's actually linking one individual to another.
Are you looking forward to this, Kim?
Yes, I use video conferencing in my classroom, and the better it can be improved, the better for my students.
And he's saying that you could be able to download a lesson or a movie or something to your class in a matter of like 30 seconds and put it right on your computer, the whole thing, and take it with you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
You get no work done.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 30 seconds. Where do we go? Where do you go from here? Just start scaling up and producing chips?
Yeah. We just start making the chips move out there. I think we're starting to do the work of that right now and talking to a lot of people that are very interested in incorporating the technology into their products. All of the things I've said, the chips are out there, the fiber's available. It's really a matter of just putting them together, and that takes a bit of time, but I think it's going to happen much faster than anyone's been expecting traditionally.
Is it multiple chip makers or just one chip maker?
Right now we're just working with one chip maker. It's the division of Motorola that builds semiconductor chips. It's called Freescale.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us about it.
Great. Thank you very much, Ira.
You're welcome. Alex Dickinson is co-founder and CEO of Luxtera, the company that developed this chip. And he joined us from Carlsbad, California. And it'll be interesting to see just how much this gets into your home because, you know, the thought of just being able to download. This is the new podcasting sort of thing, right, with video. You got this. You take it away with you. And who knows where that can lead to. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about all you do-it-yourselfers are going to have a chance to come with us and learn how to be the ultimate do-it-yourselfer. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.